champ is here!
It's fantasy football time on Patriots.com with the Fantasy Football Champs.
Fitzgerald leaps, and he's got it! It's a touchdown for Larry Fitzgerald!
Dominate your league with the guys from FFChamps.com.
Reeves throwing back in the end zone! Leaping grab, touchdown!
Bill Enright and Anthony Grace are the Fantasy Football Champs.
The NFL regular season is over. It is playoff time, and we are still broadcasting live on Patriots.com radio. This is the Fantasy Football Champs presented by DraftKings. Hello, everybody. I'm Bill Enright, joined by Anthony Grace, our great producer, Kevin Collins. Gentlemen, week 17 in the books. We are full focused and moving right along to the NFL playoffs. Wild card weekend, just a few days away.
Yeah, man, another great NFL season we got in the books this year. So had a few exciting games, a couple games that meant a lot this past week. Got a couple teams in the playoffs. Got everything figured out, obviously, because it's starting in a couple days. Saturday, that's it. NFL playoffs 2014. So it's going to be another exciting ride, like always.
It's going to be certainly an interesting show because we do have to focus so much on our strategy for postseason NFL playoff fantasy leagues.
Yes,
but
we
also want to hear from the people that were in their championships in week 17. So yeah. Whether you need strategy for your playoff league, you want to brag about winning your championship, you just want to talk about some of your favorite moments from this year, the phone lines are open, 855-728-7500, and you can always email us webradio@patriots.com. What did you guys think of the action from week 17? Because I have a couple news and notes about it, some of my takeaways, but I'd like to get your opinions first.
The biggest thing that stood out to me, obviously, I think, and this affects the NFL playoffs a little bit, is Ndamukong Suh being suspended. I think that him getting suspended for the playoffs, it's tough because he's got a history of doing stupid things and whatnot, but seeing what he got suspended for, I don't know, man. That's kind of iffy if you ask me.
Well, there's precedent there with him.
And that's what I'm saying.
He's done it before.
Exactly. If he was never in trouble before and this happened, it'd be a lot more iffy. But even still, I mean, when they use the word he stomped on Aaron Rodgers, it's like he stepped backwards onto him. So I don't think it was malicious necessarily. But look, the guy's got a history, so I understand why they did it. But that kind of is a little sketchy, I think.
Well, my biggest takeaway from week 17, I guess I have two. One affects the playoffs, and the other one affects my opinion about week 17 fantasy championships. I guess I'll give you the one that affects my opinion of week 17 championships. Everyone knows that I hated them before, right? I think I've been clear throughout the year. Anthony, you and I both agree that we've been adamant that anyone playing in a week 17 championship has got to throw a coup and overthrow their commissioner.
Yeah.
We even tried to play fantasy football police a couple times and dial up some of these commissioners hosting their championships in week 17. It can't happen.
No, it can't. And I think the only thing you hate more than that is 18 leagues and Jake Locker. So it's in your top three of things that you hate about fantasy football, and I totally agree with that.
That is correct. Now, to make my opinion even stronger is the fact that I'm going to give you a guess on who the number one quarterback in terms of fantasy football points scored in week 17. Who was that number one quarterback?
Ooh, number one quarterback, fantasy points scored. I'm going to go, it's got to be something off the wall. Case Keenum had a decent day, so I'm going to say he had to be up there. Case Keenum.
Geno Smith.
Oh, man.
Was the number one fantasy football quarterback for week 17. Not Aaron Rodgers. Not Peyton Manning. Tom Brady. Drew Brees. Not Andrew Luck or Tony Romo. Geno Smith was your number one quarterback for week 17 after the New York Jets took it to the Miami Dolphins. Now, if that doesn't sum up why week 17 championships suck, then I don't know what else can. Because I don't know anyone that used Geno Smith at all this year. And there were some injuries to quarterbacks. There were a lot of bye week issues. I don't know of anyone that ever asked me or were debating at any point in the year if they should use Geno Smith as their starting quarterback. And yet here we are in week 17, or here we were in week 17 just a few days ago, and he was the number one passer. That annoys the hell out of me.
Yeah, and that, if you're playing a Week 17 championship, you have to be ready for things like this to happen, because this is when odd thing, the most odd weeks of the season of the NFL are 1-17, I feel like, almost all the time. One, you got guys still coming into it, so that's acceptable, you see it, but like Week 17, especially in the fantasy world, Week 1, look, if you lose Week 1, life goes on, it's one loss, you can come back from that. But Week 17, you're in a championship if you're still playing, and if you are, and you have a stud quarterback, like we're saying, for example, and he's, you know, got a spot locked up. Tom Brady, for example. I don't think anybody who had Tom Brady, like you said, is going out there and picking up Geno Smith for this week. It's not happening.
And that's another thing. How long did Brady play?
Barely at all. I mean, it's so frustrating. Not because you don't know that your studs aren't going to play necessarily, but the fact that these guys that don't do anything all season just step up out of nowhere and can have a big game. Like you said, Geno Smith just probably killed a lot of people because they had a different quarterback in mind, and this guy just came up out of nowhere throwing for over 350 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Now, here's my message to everyone that is in a Week 17 championship. You have about 7 months to get it out of your league, to change your league rules, to write a letter to your commissioner, to egg his house. I don't care what you have to do. Make it happen. You got 7 months.
You got
time. I don't want to hear any excuses. Oh, we've been doing it this way for 25 years. So what? People were listening as entertainment to the radio before the invention of television and the internet. Does that mean people, do those same people not watch TV? Not turn on their computer and go on the internet? My grandfather's still reading the newspaper. Doesn't mean he doesn't watch the news at 6 o'clock. So anyone that's a traditionalist and oh, we've been doing this for 20 years like this, we've always had it Week 17. So what? Adapt or change.
Yeah, just because you have something that's tradition doesn't mean you can't adjust it or tweak it or make it better. You're still going to have a championship. We can still all do the same fun things you would do if everybody gets together or, you know, whatever you do in your league. You can still do all the same fun things. You just have a better matchup in Week 16 because virtually everybody's playing in the league. So I think it just makes it more exciting for you.
Yeah, so I'm fired up about that. Week 17 championships, got to go.
Got to go.
Get them out.
Totally agree.
We have a very interesting show because I want to do a lot today. I want to go over Black Monday. We saw 4 head coaches getting fired, a couple offensive coordinators and general managers. Mm-hmm. I want to recap Week 17. Oh, I guess I have to go. Remind me to go back and talk about the impact that from Week 17 that's going into the playoffs. But I'll say that in a little bit. I want to go over Black Monday, talk about the head coaches getting fired. I want to talk about Week 17 as a whole, and just kind of recap some of the action that happened. I also want to do a show dedicated to just a recap of the season. 5 best pickups, 5 biggest busts, best sleepers in the draft. You know, anything that has to do with 5 best performances on a weekly basis. Most surprising tight end. Most disappointing running back. Stuff like that. We have to do a show like that. But with only one show this week, because the New Year's on Thursday, we don't have the time.
Yeah.
So I think a good time to do that would be in between the divisional round the AFC-NFC Championship and the Super Bowl.
Okay.
I think
I like that.
Because there's that bye week in between.
Oh, yeah. We got a lot of stuff we can discuss over that.
Now, the only thing is, that's assuming on my part, and Kevin, I'm able to say this, the Patriots are going to be playing in the AFC Championship.
Let's hope so.
I mean, because we go as long as the Pats go.
Yes.
Right.
That's how it rolls around.
Except
here.
I don't know how it would work around the Super Bowl, but we'll at least go through the AFC Championship.
Right. We'll get into our predictions later. But I'm assuming at least the Pats are going to be in the AFC Championship. Now, we're going to do some kind of recap show. I think let's plan it for that week. Does that sound good? Does that make sense?
That sounds like a plan to me.
So today we can focus on the playoffs because fantasy doesn't end on Week 17. It should end Week 16 and then start again with the NFL playoffs. I love doing fantasy in the NFL playoffs.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
not as intense. You don't have as much loyalty to the players, but it still gives you a rooting interest, a vested interest, other than rooting for the Pats or other than rooting for your favorite team.
Yeah, and especially if your team is not in the NFL playoffs right now, then that gives you definitely a rooting interest of something, you know, fun. Anybody who plays fantasy knows they don't want the season to end, and this 8-month hiatus we have from championship week till basically drafts are starting next year, when you should be doing your draft in mid to late August, beginning of September. It's a long time, and you go a little stir crazy. You keep looking at stuff and looking back and looking forward. So I think that's, it's tough to do. So playoff fantasy football is just a great way to pass the time.
I totally agree.
I love it.
I think your point about if your team is not in the playoffs is that really drives it home about how you can still enjoy the NFL action, even if you're not rooting for anyone to win the Super Bowl right now.
Now when you do playoff fantasy leagues, Bill, do you have different setups? Do you do a couple different ones? What's your situation on that?
Well, that's another good point, Ant, because I think there are a few different ways to run your NFL postseason fantasy league.
Yes.
The way that we're doing on FF Champs, and remember we did that awesome renewal offer for anyone that wanted to renew early. The way we're doing it in that league is, let's say we have 500 people in it. Technically, there could be some people with the same team, but no salary cap. You go in, you pick anyone you want, and you get the cumulative amount of points throughout the postseason. You have to set a starting lineup, but you're not changing anyone. So if you draft Tom Brady this week, you're getting a zero at quarterback. But it's total points scored throughout the NFL playoffs and the Super Bowl.
Right. So basically, FF Champs, the way it's going is you got to pick who you think is making the Super Bowl from week one of the playoffs.
Exactly. And that's what so much of this strategy that we're going to talk about in a little bit is dependent on who do we think is going to go the furthest or play the most games. Because that's how you get the most points. If you think Calvin Johnson's going to lose, if you think the Lions are going to lose to the Cowboys this weekend, well, Calvin Johnson might not be worth a whole lot to you.
Yeah, you can't take a guy, even if a guy is someone that you think can have a monster performance in 1 week, that's great. But like you said, you gotta think differently now. Now it's not just, I gotta win this week. You're picking guys that are playing for 3 weeks, 4 weeks, hopefully, if you pick guys that get to the Super Bowl. So you gotta be smart in who you pick and your strategy.
See, I like that format, but some people don't because it's so dependent on picking the right players on the right teams that are going far.
It's tough.
The other way to do it is a pick-em-once format where you only pick a guy, you're only allowed to use him one time. So if you think Cam Newton has a great matchup this weekend against the Cardinals and you don't care that if he advances and he plays the Seahawks next week, you only want to win this week, then you pick Cam this week, and you have the option of using one of the four guys on a bye next weekend, like a Brady, a Manning, a Rodgers, or a Russell Wilson. I like that format too, but that's a little bit less strategic in my mind. Well, I don't know. Is it less strategic? Because
it's
at the same time, you can only use the player once. You have to still make sure you have players available that are going to be in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think that way it might be a little bit tougher because of – if you're once and done with a player, then yeah, you got to look at it and say, okay, I don't think Calvin Johnson moves on. I got to use him this week. He's a stud. But if for some reason that team moves on and you can't use him and you didn't use any Dallas Cowboys, for example, that's going to be tough. That's going to be real tough. So
yeah,
I think that way it might be a little tougher.
That's an interesting way to look at it too. I do like the format where you pick them, and then that's your team for the whole playoffs. But that pick them once strategy, that pick them once format, that's an interesting too, because you're right. It does have that wrinkle in it.
Now I do a league with some of my friends where the first wild card and divisional round you can pick. You can pick each week differently, not once and done. Whatever you want. It's a salary cap type league. But let's say for example this week you pick up Cam Newton, right? And he's the cheapest quarterback. Now if you lock him in and he has a great game and moves on, you can lock him at that price, even though prices adjust up and down as the weeks go on. And then heading into championship, AFC, NFC championship week, you got to pick who you think makes it to the Super Bowl and use those guys for 2 weeks. So it gives it, I think it kind of combines the two in a way.
Right.
You don't have to pick the Super Bowl players right away, but your salary cap. So like you said, maybe not necessarily you don't think Cam Newton will win, but if you think he has a chance and he's a cheap quarterback and you think if he wins, he's got a good matchup, next week, then you got to play it that way too. So there's so many different ways that you can do it out there.
Now, where do you run that league through?
One of my buddies runs that. He's been doing it for years, and we run that through ESPN.
Okay. The FF Champs one is going to be fantasy postseason.
Okay.
Those guys do a great job with anything involving, your NFL playoffs or any kind of fantasy sport, fantasy contest for the postseason for the playoffs. That's their specialty, which is a pretty cool niche to have, right?
Because that's different,
yeah. You're not exactly competing with the ESPNs or the Yahoos, although obviously you just said you use ESPN, but it's a little bit more of a niche, and I like those guys a lot. Fantasy postseason is where we're doing our contest. And, of course, I mean, I can't forget to mention, DraftKings has another $1 million contest this weekend. First place is getting $100,000.
$100,000.
And only 42,000 people.
Yeah, that's not
the top 8,000 get paid.
That's not bad. That's about half of what they were doing for the Millionaire Maker contest.
Right.
They had like 90,000 plus each week or a couple more at the end there, I believe. So 40,000 people, that's not too bad for a $100,000 payday.
Now, I think I was panicking a little bit because on Monday, early in the morning, I was looking at DraftKings and I wanted to set a couple lineups because I'm a lunatic like that for the playoffs, and there was nothing available. NFL wasn't even on the board.
Wow.
I was like, oh my God, what is happening? I need my DraftKings fix. I wrote a letter. No, I was serious, dude. I wrote an email to our account rep. This guy Josh does a terrific job. I wrote an email to him. I was searching on Twitter to see if DraftKings like made any announcement, and then like within an hour, all the contests were there.
It's back
they
up.
Have
all
they
right.
have the same amount of contests that they would for any other regular season week. They have it this week for the playoffs. 25 cents, $1, $2, $10, $27. I'm trying to see what the most expensive is for this weekend. $5,300 head to head. Imagine that, taking someone on $5,300 head to head, and
man,
the winner gets $10,000.
Not bad at all. Man, DraftKings is awesome. They have so many. Like I said, this is the first year I actually started playing like daily fantasy. Man, it is so addicting. It's awesome. And the fact that you can do NFL playoffs, and like I said, DraftKings, they got every sport out there imaginable. So I just, oh man. Once you got me hooked on DraftKings, Bill, it was over for me at that point.
Now, what do you think? I won a decent amount. I'm not going to say I won, you know, like that guy's our good friend Sebastian. He won $25,000. I didn't win that kind of money, but I did a good. I did progressively better and better every week to build a little bit of a bankroll going. Now, I don't play MLB, hockey,
nope.
MMA. They have now NBA, college basketball. They have it all at DraftKings. I don't play any of those sports, so my account is going to stay frozen, if you will. They're not going to freeze it, but my account's going to stay still until next football season.
Yeah.
Do I, A, just blow through everything the next couple of weeks, and if I win, I win. If I don't, I don't, and then just start fresh next year? Or do I take about half, leave some in my account? I'm not going to withdraw it, okay? I'm not going to take any out of my account, put it into my PayPal, bring it back to my balance, you know, my bank account. I'm not going through all that. Not that it's difficult, but I'm just leaving it there because I know I'm going to use it next year.
Exactly.
So either I'm going to go through it all or I'm going to use about half of it. This way I have a little bit next year to play around with.
I would probably leave a little bit on there because that's going to be one of those things where next year you're going to sign in there and you're going to forget about it after the playoffs, you know, do your thing, whatever, and come July, August, you're going to sign in there to see what's going on. Be like, oh, man, I got some cash on here. All right, we're ready to go for this season. So that would be a nice little surprise for you at the beginning of 2015.
You know, that would be the smart thing to do.
It's not going to happen, is it?
I'm not going to do that. I see way too many good – you know, I love – I wish I could say I love the NFL playoffs more than I love the regular season. That's not really true. I love the regular season. 17 weeks of NFL action. Take fantasy aside, I just love watching football.
Oh, yeah.
The playoffs are special because I do think it is the best teams of the year. Like, it's not like in the NBA where you have eight teams from each conference and you're playing a best of eight series, or best of seven, the best of eight wouldn't make sense, a best of seven series, and it's watered down by game seven. I don't like that. It's one and done. I think the best team, if you play the best that day, that's who wins, that's who advances. I love the finality of a game in the NFL. Once it's over, it's over. There's no game two, game three.
Yeah, in the NFL, it's the most team-oriented sport out of the four major that we're
Absolutely.
Used to watching are in the United States, so it makes sense to be one and done. I mean, I don't think anybody would be okay with an NFL playoff schedule where you play the same team three times in a series over the course of 2 weeks or whatever you want to say. That would be the dumbest thing ever. It's the NFL, and the same thing every week. If you lose a game in the NBA or in Major League Baseball, who cares? You got another 80 games to play or 160
right.
games to play. In the NFL, if you lose a game, that could be your season, even in week four or week five, if you go back and look and say, oh man, if we made this field goal or we did that, it is a totally different animal in the NFL, and I totally agree. The NFL playoffs are probably the most exciting thing to watch on TV in the course of a year as far as sports go.
Yeah, that's why I just love the NFL, and I love the NFL playoffs, because like this weekend, wild card weekend, divisional weekend, I think it's one of the two best weekends in sports, because you just have great games.
Yeah. Yeah. And the great thing is we got a lot of rematches coming up this weekend, and a lot of great no team can back into the NFL playoffs is basically what it comes down to. It's not like a bad team can hang around and then maybe make it outside of, you got your NFC South that was kind of down this year and a team has to make it out of there. But like you said, the NBA, you got eight teams and the bottom team in the East is usually a team that's under 500. It's like, you can't put them up against one of the best. Now, Carolina kind of, I don't want to say backed in, but they're just in a bad division, so it's not like they back themselves in there, but they got a matchup that's winnable this week. They can make some noise, and you never know what could happen in the NFL playoffs.
I'm really looking forward to Wild Card Weekend. I'm really looking forward to some DraftKings contests. I'm not saving any of that account balance. It'll be gone. It'll be gone or it'll be doubled.
That's all that matters. Hey, if you double it up, that's even better.
Yeah. And back to what I was saying before about one takeaway from week 17 that will affect the playoffs. It's Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just brutal.
That's going to be real
tough. The Steelers were looking good.
He was the key piece to that team. So that's going to be a tough loss for them if he can't play. I know Mike Tomlin came out and said that they didn't rule him out yet, but they're preparing like he's not going to be there.
They signed Ben Tate.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be there. I really don't.
Now, Josh Harris came in, and he did okay. I'm not going to say he did wonders. He did have a big play called back. I think it was like a 60-yard touchdown that he had called back. But Ben Tate, the team signed him today. And Anthony, this guy was on the Browns this year. He was on the Vikings this year. He was essentially cut by two teams. I don't know if they're just signing him as a body, but it's a pretty strong sign that Le'Veon Bell will not play because of this hyperextended knee.
Yeah, I think it's just depth at the running back position because they're afraid of what they're going to get at that position with no Le'Veon Bell. I mean, like you said, Josh Harris, they can use him. Ben Tate, they can use him. But none of these guys are going to be that same piece in the backfield. No defense, especially the Baltimore Ravens, a team that knows the Pittsburgh Steelers, a divisional matchup. These guys, slug it out all the time. They're not going to be worried about Ben Tate or Josh Harris running on them. They already got a decent run defense, so a team or a running back like that is not going to scare them. That just lets them sit back and hopefully play on Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown and Martavis Bryant, guys like that on the Steelers. So it's going to be a tough game for Pittsburgh to win without Le'Veon Bell being in that lineup.
And I was going to say Aaron Rodgers being carted off the field with the calf injury, but luckily he was able to come back into the game. Otherwise, that would have been devastating as well.
When you saw him go off, that would have been the biggest news going into the playoffs, because no Aaron Rodgers, it means the Green Bay Packers aren't going to be a team going to the Super Bowl. I mean, they've got good players everywhere else. Wide receiver, their offensive line's not horrible. They got Eddie Lacy in the back. But their offense is good. Matt Flynn, Aaron Rodgers, I'm sorry. It's just not the same guy back there throwing the ball.
No, of course not. I mean,
so, yeah, Aaron Rodgers, if he goes down and he misses the playoffs, that's the biggest story. But he came back in there, finished it up, got that team a win. So now they got themselves a week off. He's going to heal himself. Aaron Rodgers is going to be fine by the time the Packers play again in a couple weeks.
855-728-7500 is the phone number, and it's a good thing we're talking injuries because our good doctor friend, Dr. Nick in Boston, is on the line next. Hey, Dr. Nick, how's it going?
Oh, how's it going, guys?
What's up, Dr. Nick?
Yeah, well, hey, the most wonderful time of the year technically just passed, but I think this is a close second. Playoff time, baby. It's good stuff.
Yeah, man, it's still football on the air, so you got to love that. I mean, we're not as involved season-long like we are for fantasy, but it's still, it's football. That's all that matters.
That's right, and, I renewed early with you guys, so I'm going to be trying to beat you, both of you, in this this playoff fantasy league we got going on here for FF Champs. I'm pumped about that, too.
You know, I want to ask you, did you get the email today, and did you sign up already?
I got the email, and I'm going to be signing up right after I finish talking with you guys, I think.
Let me know. Hit me up on Twitter or send an email in to, you know, our customer service. I just want to make sure that it's working correctly because I was the only one. You know, I tested it out by myself. So I guess I can send that information to Anthony and maybe to Kevin too. But just let me know if it worked.
Okay, well, yeah, I mean, I know that the email is definitely, you know, sent because I got that. But, yeah, I'll let you know about the fantasy application that you guys are using.
Anthony, I'll send you the email too.
Cool.
Yeah, I just wanted to – I know you guys had mentioned a little earlier about who you thought were sleepers or, you know, best picks in terms of draft, you know, picking up on the waivers as well. I just got to throw out there that I think – I'm just going to give you guys my top because I know you've got a lot of other stuff to talk about, but the top sleeper draft pick, I think it's got to be a wide receiver for me. I think it's either Golden Tate or Emmanuel Sanders. Hmm. And I think, you know, my top waiver wire pickup has got to be Odell Beckham. I don't know how many people drafted him, but I know that in my league, he went undrafted and the guy who got him was able to pick him up because he had Victor Cruz, who went down before anyone else could get him. I think he had a higher waiver order, and he's lucky because in our league you can keep one rookie, so he's going to be set up pretty nicely next season. But yeah, those guys I think had seasons that no one was really expecting. I don't know if anyone was expecting Emmanuel Sanders to be bad because he was with Peyton Manning, but Golden Tate, I don't know. I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, certainly good nominations, and we'll keep that in mind. We'll probably do the recap show in a couple of weeks. The thing about pickup of the year is I'm probably going to throw my vote toward Justin Forsett only because of he played almost a full season. I think he started 16 games or 15 games for the Ravens. Odell Beckham, while great, missed the first four games of the year, and I just give a little bit more value to the running back, especially when a guy like Justin Forsett, who is a pickup, ends up finishing in the top, you know, five or six. I think that was just incredible.
Yeah, I know. I think that's definitely fair, but you can't argue with how productive Odell Beckham Jr. He got like over 150 yards every single week, right? With at least one touchdown. That is that's absolutely insane. When Mike Evans was doing that a couple weeks in a row this year, I thought that was pretty impressive, but it seems like ODB, man, he was doing it on another level. I'm really excited to see him play next year, and I'm a Patriots fan, so it takes a lot to get me to want to see a New York Giants player do well, but he's right up there on my list of, like, you know, favorite guys to watch. So.
In 12 games, he finished with 91 catches. 91, 12 games.
That's insane.
1,300 yards and 12 touchdowns. So he had a touchdown in almost every game.
That's like a full season's worth of production.
Yeah, sure is.
You know, three quarters of a season. It's monstrous.
His first three games that he was active, week 5, 6, and 7, he had 44, 28, and 34 yards. That's it. Nothing over 50. And he didn't have any receptions over 5 for the first 3 weeks he was actually active. And then he just went on an absolute tear. Never finished with less than 90 yards. Never finished with less than 6 catches.
So those first three games were you know, was Cruz still playing? Or did he go down before Beckham started even, you know, playing?
Victor Cruz went down in week 6 at Philadelphia. That was Beckham's second game.
Okay. So it took him a little while. Maybe it took him a bit to get up to speed with Eli. But, man, they've been pretty much inseparable ever since in terms of their you know, passing and catching relationship. I don't know.
After their bye week in week 8, that's when he turned it on.
Yeah, that's nuts. But anyway, I think he's my sleeper / fantasy all-star of the year, I feel like. But I'm going to be, you know, going to be interested to see how things go in the playoffs. I'm looking forward to beating both of your guys' butts in the FF Champs League. So get ready for that.
Sounds good, Nick, and we appreciate the phone call.
Love it.
Make sure you sign up and let me know how that playoff system works. Anthony, remind me, because I got to send you that email, too.
I will do that.
I actually sent that like 10 minutes before the show started.
Okay.
So that's why I didn't get it over to you. Before we get into all of our playoff predictions, and there's a couple things that we need to figure out, and Kevin, I'd like your opinion on this as well. Do we want to do a game-by-game playoff prediction all the way through the Super Bowl, which I think we should?
That's what I vote.
And then keep that separate, and then do a game-by-game prediction and just count the amount of wins? In other words, let's say I take the Panthers this weekend, and they get beat by the Seahawks next weekend, right?
Okay.
What happens if the Cardinals win, and then they beat the Seahawks? Then our brackets are kind of looking a little lame. So do we want to refresh every week?
Yeah, let's just pick every game each week.
Pick every game each week.
That's my vote.
But you don't want to do anything like in advance?
Not really.
No, you don't want to put out like your Super Bowl prediction now?
I already did, like in August.
Yeah, but I want to do it again.
Why? Your team's not in there?
No, they are. Anthony, what do you... I want to change it, though. Anthony, what do you think?
I like doing it week by week, but I think it'd be a lot of fun to do what you're saying and kind of just make our own, like, playoff tree, March Madness bracket of how we think. So, you know what? I'm in both ways. If we have time, we can do it both ways if we want to. It's two different ways to do it, so that's fun.
Yeah, come on, Anthony. Come on, Kev. Why don't you want to have fun?
I have fun all the time. You can't tell me I'm not having fun?
I don't know. It doesn't sound like you're having fun.
Joy to... No, I'm having a blast.
A three-dog night. All right.
So anyway, we'll do that a little bit later. Let's go over some of the news and notes from this from the past, I don't know, 24, 36 hours as we're broadcasting live here on Patriots.com radio. A couple coaches getting fired yesterday. Monday.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. some of it was writing on the wall, some of it wasn't. I wasn't expecting the Bears to fire Mark Trestman and Phil Emery. I figured one of them would have to go.
Yeah, and Phil Emery was the first one to go down. So when I saw that, I really thought Mark Trestman might be, might be okay. They may got a new GM in there, see, but Phil Emery signing Jay Cutler to that monster deal. It just obviously was his downfall. And Mark Trestman, I think he ran that offense very well the first year, and I can't put a lot of blame on him. That defense was just so god awful that. If they got a defensive coordinator in there to help out that defense, rebuild that, and let Trestman run the offense, I think they would have been okay. But it's going to be interesting to see what these teams do that do fire their coaches, because there's not a lot out there, I don't think, this year in terms of coordinators or college coaches that are going to be doing a lot of moving. So it's going to be interesting to see. I think a lot of these guys who got fired might find jobs in another place.
Is it fair to give a coach only 2 years on the job? The Browns only gave their coach 1 year last year.
Yeah, that was unreal last year when the Browns. So I think you need to get at least 3 full years as a coach, especially if you're a guy that's involved with the drafting and you're a little bit more than just the guy calling plays. So and a lot of these guys nowadays, that's what they do. They do a lot of picking the draft picks. This is my team. This is who I want to coach. Blah, blah, blah. So I think you need at least 3 full seasons as a coach to really pick your team, see what you got. And after 3 seasons, if you're not on an upward swing, then it's time to go.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's just too bad that I guess some of these teams, some of these fans, some of these owners, they just get so impatient that they make quick decisions.
It is. And you look at the teams that do this a lot, the Oakland Raiders, the Cleveland Browns, teams like this. They're stuck in the same place. They're stuck in neutral, not going anywhere, at the bottom of the barrel for the most part every season. They got to get some sort of stability on that team, leadership in the locker room, and a head coach that they say, look, we want you to come in. You're going to be here for 3 to 4 years. We need to make sure you can get a team put together and get our team on the winning track. That's what you need to do. If you're firing a coach every single year, that's not going to help anybody, players or coaches underneath your head coach.
So Chicago Bears fired general manager Phil Emery, fired head coach Mark Trestman. I knew this one was coming. Atlanta Falcons fired head coach Mike Smith. The Falcons didn't even show up in week 17. They had the opportunity to get a playoff berth. They were playing at home, and instead they get blown out by the Carolina Panthers.
That was, I did not see that coming.
It was ugly.
If the Panthers, you know, win a game 27-24 on a last-second field goal, all right, that's cool. What the fact that they just oh my god, they made the Atlanta Falcons look like you said, didn't even show up. So the second you saw that happen, you knew Mike Smith was going. And we talked about this last week. We thought If he makes the playoffs, he might be safe. If he wins a playoff game, he's coming back for sure. But getting blown out at home with a chance to make the playoffs is tough to do. Now, I will say this about the Atlanta Falcons. The fact that they almost made the playoffs but still have a top 10 draft pick, picking number 8 in the NFL draft in 2015, I think that bodes well for a team that still has a decent amount of talent on it, and they can just add to it this year in the draft with a high pick.
Save your thoughts on that, because I'm going to ask you a question after we go through all these head coaches.
All right.
Got canned. So the Bears were 5-11 this year. The Falcons were 6-10. The San Francisco 49ers finished 8-8. Jim Harbaugh is now the head coach for the University of Michigan football program, the Michigan Wolverines. That job is now vacant. That also was well documented throughout the year, that the ties between him and their general manager just kept getting worse and worse.
Yeah, that was the theme of this year. A lot of this talk about the locker room and things that John Harbaugh does, and then players not really getting along with him necessarily. So that's a tough situation. I know San Francisco, looking at these teams that have no coaches, they're probably one of the better rosters out there, but I don't know. I'm not sure if I'm a coach if I want to necessarily go out to San Francisco. You got a very tough division. You got some talent, but you got a lot of players that make a lot of bad decisions on that team. So I'd be scared to go out to San Francisco and coach that team right now.
And finally, the New York Jets. I don't know, Kevin, I don't know what we're going to do, because on this show we've been making fun of Rex Ryan for, I don't know, 3 or 4 years now, as long as we've been on these airwaves. The Jets fired Rex Ryan, and they fired
a bunch of cheeseburgers.
Yeah, I mean, what are we going to do without all this great sound clips?
That's being a jackass.
Let's go eat a goddamn snack. John Isdick was also...
You say Isdick?
Isdick.
Idzik.
Idzik.
Idzik. Nothing. Idzik. There's no dick in there, really.
Well, I was Idzik.
Let's leave the dick out.
He was also fired as their general manager. I knew that was coming. I think Rex Ryan will be a good defensive coordinator somewhere in the NFL. I don't know if he should be head coach as his next hire. Maybe he serves time as a DC, then he gets hired as a head coach. But for him to get a head coaching job right away, it could be a little dangerous.
Yeah, look, Rex Ryan knows defenses. He knows how to build a defense. He has an eye for talent, I think, to some point when he's drafting players. So the only problem is he doesn't have any of that for the offensive side of the ball, so he has to be a defensive coordinator. He might get a chance at a head coaching spot again, but him as a defensive coordinator with a guy as a head coach that can run an offense, I think that's a perfect fit for Rex Ryan.
And the Jacksonville Jaguars fired their offensive coordinator, Jed Fish. Now, the Jags had a rookie at quarterback, not a lot of receiving options, and a terrible running back by committee led by Toby Gerhart at the start of the year. Finally, Denard Robinson came in, gave him some life, but then he got hurt, and then they quickly went back to being horrible again. So I didn't really understand. I didn't know what – how could you have high expectations when you draft a guy when you draft a rookie quarterback? You don't expect him to start, only to have Chad Henne, the veteran, get hurt and then be forced to start the quarterback that you didn't plan on starting to begin with.
Yeah, Jed Fish was in a very difficult position.
Right.
And not shocking that he got fired. One of those things that kind of, not a lot of talk about it. He's not a head coach, but it's something that's going to factor in. It'll be interesting to see who goes to Jacksonville to start trying to run that offense, because they do. They got a couple pieces at the wide receiver position. Cecil Shorts, he's all right, but you got Marquise Lee and Allen Robinson, two rookies that look decent at times. You had Allen Hurns, a nice deep threat. Denard Robinson at running back had a few flashes this year. So you got some pieces on that offense that if the right guy comes in there can make a couple little moves, maybe get a little more protection on that line for Blake Bortles. I mean, Blake Bortles looked decent when he came in. I think he slowed down at the end of this year, but I think he's a guy, big build, big arm. So Blake Bortles is a guy that can thrive in this league as long as he gets the right coordinator to help him along.
All right, so now with the New York Jets, San Francisco 49ers, Atlanta Falcons, and Chicago Bears, four teams need a new head coach. Which job is the least attractive? The least attractive.
It's still going to be the New York Jets right now. I think that's the biggest.
Is it because of their roster?
I just Yeah, I don't have a lot of faith in what they have. Like you said, Geno Smith came up out of nowhere this past week to throw for 350-plus yards and three touchdowns, but right. That's only the second time this year he's thrown for multiple touchdowns. As a quarterback in the NFL in 2014, if you don't have more than two games with more than two touchdown passes, that's a big red flag to me if I'm going in for a job.
See, I think it's more about the organization. I just don't like that franchise.
I totally agree.
I don't think they're run well.
No, they're really not compared to these other Chicago Bears, San Francisco 49ers. These guys have a long history of just being good continuously for the most part. I mean, they have years where they're down, but for the most part, the Bears and the 49ers are almost always at least in the playoff conversation. Even if they don't make it, they're there usually till the end. The Jets, I mean, the first years of Rex Ryan, AFC championships, and after that, they kind of just slid downhill really, really fast.
All right, so the Jets are the least attractive. Who's the most attractive? What job would you want out of the Falcons, the Bears, and the 49ers?
Atlanta Falcons, I think, is the most attractive job. I think playing in that division, I think that's probably the easiest division to play in, so that's got to factor in there. I know, again, they got some pieces they got to tweak and adjust. They need a running back real bad down there, but you got Julio Jones, one of the best receivers in the game. Matt Ryan is a very, very good quarterback, especially when they're playing at home. So I think the Atlanta Falcons have the nicest look for next year, and they got a high draft pick.
Now, compared to the Niners and the Bears, it seems the Falcons are the only ones with a proven franchise quarterback. Now,
agreed.
I say that because Colin Kaepernick can be a franchise quarterback. Jay Cutler is thought to be a franchise quarterback. But I think Matt Ryan, even though he only has one season with a couple of playoff victories, I think people look at him and they realize he is a franchise quarterback.
Yeah, Matt Ryan can be a franchise quarterback. He's the kind of guy that can win you games. He can throw the ball. He's not a runner, but he can move if need be. He's not, you know, a statue in the backfield either. So that is a plus to Matt Ryan. Jay Cutler is definitely not a franchise quarterback, and I'm not a Colin Kaepernick fan. I don't think he is either personally. I don't think he's ever going to lead a team to a championship. There's not a lot there that I see that I'm, like, in love with. He's just one of these mobile quarterbacks. I know it's all the rage, but they're not guys that are going to lead a team to a championship, I don't think, in the NFL world.
All right, so that's kind of our Black Monday recap. Four head coaches getting fired, a couple offensive and defensive coordinators from around the league. We'll see if any more teams decide to part ways with their head coaches, maybe the Miami Dolphins, Oakland Raiders, to name a few. Maybe the Washington Redskins are in that discussion as well, but we'll see. Usually one or two more, you know, unfortunately, we'll get fired from their respective teams. When we come back, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, it's all playoffs, all about wild card weekend, all about who Anthony and I and Kevin, we all think is going to make the Super Bowl, who's going to go on that magical run into NFL glory, and also, who are the players that are going to help you win a NFL playoff fantasy football championship? All that is coming up, plus more, right here on the Fantasy Football Champs, presented by DraftKings. On Patriots.com Radio.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette. the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Anthony Grace and Bill Enright are the Fantasy Football Champs.
855-728-7500 is the phone number. Web radio at patriots.com is our email. If you have a question about the Fantasy Football postseason edition, the NFL Playoffs Fantasy Football Contest, or if you just want to brag about how you won your championships, you can give us a call or you can email us. But I think what we should do now is we should go through the wild card weekend matchups, take a look at who's going to be in action, go over some of our rankings just for this weekend, and then after we do that, we can get into who's going to advance, who's going to win, and we'll get into a little bit more of some of our predictions for the actual playoffs going forward with the divisional, the conference championships, and, of course, the Super Bowl this year.
Sounds like a plan, man.
I'm terrible at reading these damn Roman numerals. What Super Bowl is this? XL is what? At 10?
This is for 49.
49, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because the 1X is 1 minus 10, so it's not 50. It's 49.
Correct.
What is the L?
The L is 50, 20. If I'm not mistaken.
No, it can't be. Because it's XLIX.
Yeah, because it's like 50 minus the 10 is 40. So, like, XL is 40, basically.
Oh, XL yeah. is 40.
Yeah.
So, oh.
Yeah, the Romans are confusing, man.
And then the IX is 9.
Yes.
Because, you know, right, 1, 9 minus 1. 1 minus 9, yeah. So XLIX is 49, right?
Yeah.
I always get confused with these damn Roman numerals. And then you know what else I get confused by? The year. Because really the season's 2014, but the Super Bowl is in 2015.
Yep.
That confuses the hell out of me too.
Yep, I'm always thrown off by that, so you're not the only one.
All right, so for this weekend, wild card weekend, I think it's really good matchups. I heard a lot of people kind of hating on some of these matchups, but I love them. I think they're very intriguing. I think they can go either way. I think Saturday is just as good as Sunday. I'm looking forward to each one. I think each game brings a little bit something different to, you know, your NFL taste buds.
I don't think out of any of these matchups there's one that you can say this is a surefire winner. Maybe one that I can see that I could be like, it'd be tough for this team to win. But out of the four matchups in wildcard weekend, I think every team has a chance to win.
All right, so let's start with the first game of the weekend. Baltimore versus, oh no, is that the first game?
No, we're looking, was it Arizona and Carolina, I believe, kick off on Saturday at 4 or something.
All right, Arizona, there you go. Arizona at Carolina. Now remember, for the longest time, Arizona had the best schedule in the entire NFL.
Yeah.
That quickly changed. But yeah, you're right, 4:35 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the Arizona Cardinals will kick off against the Carolina Panthers, who are the NFC South champions, thanks to a very impressive victory over the Falcons.
Yeah.
Week 17.
They had a great victory over the Falcons, so they got to be fired up to get themselves in the playoffs. 2 years in a row, the Carolina Panthers got themselves in the playoffs by having, last year they had a nice run throughout the back end of the season. It wasn't just one game, but again, if you get in, you get in. That's pretty much all you can say at this point. So they're in, they got a chance. I think out of all the games, Carolina is the one team, if I had to pick one team that I think is guaranteed to win this weekend, I think Carolina's it because Arizona's just... I think they're reeling too much. That quarterback position is just killing them right now.
Well, that's the biggest question, right? Who's going to start? Is Drew Stanton going to be able to come back from that sprained MCL? Is it going to be Ryan Lindley?
Well, Drew Stanton, he had an infection in that knee, and he was in the hospital, and they were saying that he might probably be out for the rest of the postseason. What was that last week? I believe I saw something like that. Okay. So I don't even think Drew Stanton is going to be available. It's going to be a Ryan Lindley type situation for Arizona, and that just. It's not going to get the job done. It's just not.
Yeah, that's the problem. I would have liked to see the Cardinals do some work in the playoffs because I do think they have a good defense, and I do like their passing attack. But without a quarterback, it's just tough.
Yeah.
It really is just tough.
Yeah, their defense is playing well. I mean, they're giving up a little over 18 points per game, which was fifth best in the league after this season ended. So Arizona's defense is what kept them in games. Like I said, it's going to be tough. I know Carolina's not really dominant on one side of the ball. Last year, they were very dominant on the defense, and that helped them get into the playoffs. This year, they're kind of middle of the pack in offense and defense. So that's kind of a question, I guess. But Arizona's offense is just so much more poor than the Carolina defense, I think.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
It's tough, and you don't have Andre Ellington, so your running back is rough. Larry Fitzgerald is another year older. Michael Floyd didn't turn into the guy that we were expecting him to turn into this year. I mean, he had a great game this last week in San Francisco, but again, in garbage time virtually. So, yeah, I just Nothing about Arizona says to me this team can win this game.
Cam Newton finished strong after that car accident that he was in. Week 17, he had 114 passing yards, but he also had a 51 rushing yards and a touchdown. Back-to-back games, he's had a touchdown. Rushing touchdown.
Yeah, looking like the Cam Newton of old.
Yeah, he finished the year. He only played 14. He played in 14 games, missed two games. Finished with 3,100 yards passing, 18 touchdowns, 539 yards rushing, and then another 5 touchdowns on the ground. Solid year for Cam. We had him as a bust to start the year because he had the ankle injury, he had the back problem. He played a little bit better than expected, but I had really low expectations for him this year.
Yeah, and he still finished the 17th best quarterback in fantasy this year in standard scoring league. So that's, 17, I don't know, not necessarily a bust, but he definitely wasn't a guy that you're starting every week. So that definitely, Cam Newton, the first couple of years he was in the NFL, a rookie year, you're not sure. Then when he turned it on like that, the last couple of years, he was basically, you drafted him, he was an every week start. And this year, he wasn't that guy anymore.
All right, now we have to assign some secretarial duties here. How are we going to do these picks? Are we going to say, all right, well, I have the Panthers advancing over the Cardinals, and that means I'm going to have, Panthers versus Seattle? I mean, how are we going to handle this?
Yeah, I can make everyone a playoff tree as we make our picks, if you want to do it that way.
Should we make our picks after we kind of preview each game?
All right. I'm down with that. Let's do that.
All right, let's go with the Wild Card Weekend. The game that is kicking off Wild Card Weekend, the Carolina Panthers are hosting the Arizona Cardinals. Kevin, are you ready to give your prediction on this one?
Sure.
Who do you got?
I'm going to take the Panthers.
Are we all taking the Panthers here?
I'm definitely going Carolina, yeah.
Is there any reason to suspect an upset by the Cardinals, who were very good at home this year, decent on the road, but boy, have they really fell off the last couple of weeks.
I just think that thing has run its course, and they're coming back down to earth.
Okay. Totally agree. Now,
I think we all are in agreement on that one. All right, so we all have the Carolina Panthers.
We all have Carolina advancing. That is correct. So
now, the second game on Saturday, 8:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, AFC North battle. Three teams from the AFC North made the postseason this year.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, it's funny because through the first 8 weeks, the Cleveland Browns were on top of this division, and they're the one team out of the four that didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah, and again, they finished a game under 500, the Cleveland Browns, 7-9. And for Cleveland, what they've been going through the last couple of years, that's really not a horrible season for them. I mean, for them to be in it as long as they were and at least keep that division exciting and relevant the entire year outside of Pittsburgh and Baltimore and Cincinnati, I think that was awesome to see this year. The AFC North was one of the more fun divisions to watch.
And remember, last year we had the AFC West, three teams from the AFC West, the Chiefs, the Chargers, and the Broncos make the AFC playoffs. So now this year it's the AFC North, which I agree. I think it's fun. And I think it's even more fun that we're getting a Steelers-Ravens matchup this weekend because, like I said, I think each one of these games brings something a little different to whet your NFL palate here. And I think the Ravens and Steelers, kind of old-school smash-mouth football with Le'Veon Bell out, though. Mm. How much is that going to change what Pittsburgh's able to do?
Yeah, if Le'Veon Bell...
I shouldn't say that he's out, assuming that he's out.
Yeah, I think that's the way we have to look at this game because odds are... Yeah, it's definitely not looking good at all. So, if Le'Veon Bell's playing this game, I really think Pittsburgh's winning this game at home against the Baltimore Ravens. Again, like you said, it's a huge matchup. They're probably one of the most bitter rivalries in the NFL right now, maybe outside of San Francisco and Seattle. There's still a huge rivalry between Baltimore and Pittsburgh. So it's going to be tougher for Pittsburgh to win, even though they're at home with no Le'Veon Bell. He's their main cog in that clock.
Now, we know Antonio Brown. We know what he can do. We know the Ravens have struggled a little bit against the pass. What do you think about Big Ben being our number one quarterback this week?
I think that's probably the best bet. He's facing one of the worst pass defenses in Baltimore. But if Le'Veon Bell doesn't play, that makes it a little bit different. Obviously, the talent doesn't change, but the way they scheme and play against him is going to be different. So no matter what, you're going to expect a game that's going to be one of those lower scoring games, more than likely a 21-17 type game. So I think Ben Roethlisberger is still going to play well, and he's going to have to put this team on his back to win this game.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a big day for Antonio Brown, a big day for Big Ben. If the Steelers end up winning, that's who you're going to look at the stat board and say, wow, they had monster games. I could also see it being not necessarily a Joe Flacco lighting up the field, but just a very, very balanced attack by the Baltimore Ravens. A lot of Justin Forsett, a lot of Torrey Smith deep routes, and maybe Steve Smith inside the 20s. But I think it's going to be a balanced attack by the Ravens, which could just like slowly strangle the Steelers into suffocation.
Yeah, and that's how they're going to have to go about this game if they want to win. They're going to have heavy doses of Justin Forsett pounding the ball. And Steve Smith, I know he slowed down after he had that hot start for the first 6 to 8 weeks of the year, but he slowed himself down a little bit. But he's a key piece. He's a veteran. He's been in the playoffs before. He knows what it takes to win. He's a guy that wants to win a championship, obviously, and they all do, but he's getting to the end of his career. He needs to put up a huge postseason and make Joe Flacco look like he did a few years ago when the Ravens won the Super Bowl, even better because that defense isn't the same.
Yeah, I would think that with the Ravens having, you know what also is good about this game? Both of them have Super Bowl experience. I mean, Big Ben's a Super Bowl winning quarterback, and so is Joe Flacco.
Yeah. Yeah.
And both of the coaches are, too.
Yeah, they both played in at least one Super Bowl. Mike Tomlin played in two, and he knows what it's like to win and lose. So
no, Tomlin played in two or one? One.
He wasn't the coach when they lost to Green Bay?
Yes, you're
right.
Yeah, you're
so right. He's been in – I mean, this is probably going to be, I think, the best matchup of the wild card round this weekend. Mm-hmm. Again, divisional teams, they know each other well. There's not going to be, you know, I got to prepare and watch a lot of film. These guys know each other, so it's going to be very exciting. Now, the Pittsburgh Steelers have never lost to the Baltimore Ravens in the playoffs since the Ravens became a team in the NFL, so history's on Pittsburgh's side in that regard.
Does home field advantage play any role in your prediction for this game, or is it such a familiarity with the Ravens playing in Pittsburgh that it doesn't really matter?
Yeah, some games I think home field is huge, but for a game like this, I honestly don't think it matters. They know each other. They've been back and forth. Baltimore and Pittsburgh aren't really that far, so it's not like, you know, people from Arizona trying to travel to Carolina. At Baltimore, you can drive, and it's a 3-4 hour drive to Pittsburgh or 5 hour drive. So I don't think home field advantage for this game really has a huge effect.
Do you think that without Le'Veon Bell, I guess we can get into our predictions here. Without Le'Veon Bell, you think the Steelers have a chance?
I still think they have a chance. You got an Antonio Brown, a guy that's very explosive with the ball in his hands. You got a very good deep threat of Martavius Bryant against a very bad secondary in Baltimore. So if that offensive line gives Ben Roethlisberger time to throw the ball and find an open receiver, I think Pittsburgh can still win this game even without Le'Veon Bell.
I'm going to go with you there, too. I think the Steelers win this game, even without Le'Veon.
It's going to be tough for them to do. I think it's going to be a very close game, a lot of back and forth, a lot of ties, a lot of, you know, Pittsburgh up, Baltimore up, question, answer, we're coming back, we're doing this. But I just think I like Ben Roethlisberger more than I like Joe Flacco, and I think that makes the difference for me in this decision, saying Pittsburgh's going to win this game.
You know, the Ravens, the last – in December, here's their opponents. They beat Miami 28-13. Miami has really stunk in December. They beat Jacksonville 20-12. They lost to Houston 12-25 or 13-25.
They got dominated in that game too.
And then they lost. And then they barely beat the Browns this past weekend. Barely.
Yeah, that was when I was watching these games, and I really thought San Diego was going to go in there and win that game in Kansas City and make the playoffs, and they didn't. And I saw them losing. I saw Baltimore losing. I was like, wow, this is going to be crazy to see who makes the playoffs. I mean, Baltimore had that comeback. But, yeah, there's no reason for Baltimore to be losing at home to Cleveland with the playoffs on the line at any point during that game.
Now, the Steelers, on the other hand, are red hot. 4 in a row. 2 wins in December against Cincinnati.
Yep.
They beat Atlanta, and they beat Kansas City.
Yeah.
And they're scoring points. Three out of those 4 games in December, they have over 24 points. They scored 27 points in 3 of those 4 games, over 27 points. That's very impressive.
Yeah, that's great for a team that's especially known for their entirety of their existence as being a team that likes to run the ball and likes to play great defense and not all about scoring. And it's a different NFL, and I love the fact that the Pittsburgh Steelers can adapt and they're doing different things and they're making it work. They're winning games the way they need to win games in the NFL right now, and I love that they can do that. They have a great coaching staff, coaches that have a lot of experience, not just Mike Tomlin, but their coordinator. I mean, Dick LeBeau's been around forever. He knows what he's doing.
Yep.
And Todd Haley, their offensive coordinator, another guy that just has been around, been to Super Bowls with multiple teams. He's a great coordinator. Pittsburgh knows what they're doing, so I think they pull off the win in this one in a close game.
I hate what-ifs, and I think if the Steelers lose, that's what we'll get. What if
Le'Veon? Yeah,
right.
100% agree with you. Now, that's not to say, let's say Ben Tate and Josh Harris come in there and split some time and they combine to go for, you know, 150 yards and two touchdowns. Then you can't say, well, what if Le'Veon Bell played, because they put up respectable numbers for running back. If
right.
they go out there and, you know, combine for 40 yards and two fumbles and no touchdowns, then you'd be like, yeah. All right, Le'Veon Bell could have been the difference. But it's going to be interesting. If they lose a close game because the running back position failed them in Pittsburgh, it's going to be, if Le'Veon Bell played, we would have won this game.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm still going to make the Pittsburgh Steelers my pick for this matchup.
Yes, I'm going Pittsburgh as well.
Kevin, who do you got?
What now?
Baltimore, Pittsburgh, who do you like
taking
in that
Pittsburgh.
Game? All right.
Am I allowed to ask, like, what were you doing that you didn't know what game we were talking about?
I was just spacing out.
Oh, just you're just
watching
tired.
Michigan State and Maryland basketball game.
Just a long. Oh, you're watching basketball. Oh, good for you.
Watching hoop.
You know, I wish you're just asleep at the desk watching a little basketball. I'll tell you, who's got it better than you? You know, he gets premier fantasy advice all season long.
All year.
Listens to every word we say, and then as soon as the fantasy season's over. And he's no longer fighting for that championship. He starts watching college basketball. The nerve on this kid. You'd almost think that he's been at the studio since 8 a.m. and hasn't had a break since July.
Sounds about
yeah.
right.
Yeah, you think so? Oh, man.
I know, Kev. I'm just busting your chops.
I was talking to a coworker today about how this will be my first weekend with both days off since the... Basically around July 4th.
Is it really?
Yes, sir.
Because the Pats are on a bye. You were hoping for
that
bye.
Yeah, and the
huh?
other bye weekend that we had in the regular season, we had Revs.
Those Revs.
So it's like we haven't had a real weekend since July 4th.
Well, hopefully you live it up.
I cannot wait. I have a hot New Year's Eve date tomorrow night with one John Rook down doing a Providence College basketball game.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Not far from where you are. What is it, 40
no.
minutes?
Yeah, it's like half hour or so.
Who are they playing?
I think the Creighton Blue Jays.
Oh, okay. All right.
All right, so Ravens Steelers, who you got?
I got the Steelers.
So all three of us are taking the Panthers. All three of us are taking the Steelers.
It looks that way so far.
How exciting. How exciting.
I think that
Kevin,
other NFC matchup is going to be the difference for this week.
What are we talking about, Bill?
The other AFC one, Anthony?
I think the Detroit-Dallas game is where we're going to differ very... I don't know.
I heard my name and I just perked up.
Yeah, Kevin, what makes you go with the Steelers here?
I don't know. I'm just not sold on Baltimore.
Do you know Le'Veon Bell's not playing?
I know. But and I know that changes things, but I think they play pretty well at home and I think that they can throw it enough. And I'm not a huge believer in the Baltimore defense, actually.
If you're in one of those pick 'em once type formats.
Okay.
Do you use Antonio Brown this weekend?
Ooh.
Do you risk him not being around in the divisional round and you use him in wild card weekend?
You might have
or
to.
Do you make that risk and then reward yourself if the Steelers end up winning?
I think I would play Martavius Bryant this week over Antonio Brown, thinking they're going to win, and I'd rather use Brown in a more critical situation.
Wow, okay.
That's what I would do.
Takes a lot of cojones to do that.
It does, but you know what? I got him, so I got to go with it, man.
There you go. I like to hear that.
All right.
All right, so that's the Saturday action. Sunday action, and I don't understand why they do this. Why do they have the game, the wild card first game on Sunday? Why do they keep that game at 1 o'clock? Why don't they have the first game at 4 o'clock and the second game primetime 8 o'clock at night? Why do they do that?
That's a question that's plagued mankind for centuries, Bill, because I totally agree. If you're going Saturday, late games, prime time, I think you got to follow up with Sunday doing the same exact thing.
Like, what is on, like, the NFL dominates television on Sunday all year long. What is happening on Sunday night that they don't want a game at prime time, especially Lions-Cowboys?
I don't think anything's going. Did you notice this, Bill, that a lot of TV shows do a thing now where they go for part of the season and then they break and then they come back in the spring? Well, it's like most of these shows sync up with football. And once the football season comes to the last couple of weeks in the playoffs, most TV shows aren't even on. So it's like they have no competition. Even if there was TV shows on, really wouldn't matter for the NFL playoffs. But they have no competition whatsoever. So they should be on in primetime every Sunday leading up to the Super Bowl.
Right. Like, Gotham is a show I watch. It had, like, about 8 episodes, and then all of a sudden it's like, we'll be back in January, see you later. You had 8 shows. It's only October.
Yeah, The Walking Dead, love that show, man. That's the greatest TV show out there, in my opinion, right now. And same thing, the last couple of years, they go right up till the end of November, let the NFL take over December, January, February, and hop back in there after the Super Bowl. Smart move by those guys.
All right, so regardless of the timing, we do have 2 quality games on Sunday. Yeah. AFC, second wild card game is the Cincinnati Bengals playing in Indianapolis against the Colts. That game kicks off at 1:05 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It'll be on CBS. Bengals-Colts, what are we looking forward to in this matchup?
Andrew Luck. I mean, I love watching that guy play. He's coming in this league. He's taken his team to the playoffs his first 3 years being in the NFL. I just think that is that's a huge thing for such a young guy. And he's one of these guys that has come in the NFL that's not a running quarterback. And it's refreshing to see that as great as running quarterbacks can be and as much excitement as they can cause and sometimes they can do big things for you, Andrew Luck's just this pocket guy who can run, but mostly a pocket passer. And he's the best young quarterback in the game right now.
We saw probably one of the most exciting playoff games in history last year with the Colts.
Yes, we did.
And the Chiefs. Remember that game? That was a great game.
Oh, man. That was an awesome. That had to be, like you said, one of the greatest NFL playoff games. I mean, right? That other than what? Buffalo and Houston in the early 90s? I don't know what else you put up there with that.
Niners-Giants was another one in 2003.
Oh, yeah. Was it the kick at the end of the game?
Yeah, Trey Junkin. 2004, maybe? Anyway, so, yes, we have seen Andrew Luck win a playoff game. Of course, he got embarrassed the next week against the Patriots. Andy Dalton, on the other hand, has yet to win a playoff game despite 3 straight appearances. So both of these quarterbacks still relatively fresh in the league. Luck only has 1 playoff victory. Andy Dalton has none. But they are familiar with postseason play. I'm excited to watch this game because I think both teams have good offenses. We'll see if A.J. Green's healthy. I love the way that Jeremy Hill kind of took over that Cincinnati backfield. But I would like to see if Andy Dalton can step onto the big stage in front of a nationally televised audience like he did in the last couple of weeks, but come through and win a playoff game. I don't think it will happen, but I'd like to see the good Andy Dalton this weekend instead of the really stinky Andy Dalton that sometimes we see. Because there are some really great passes that he makes, and other times he just looks like absolute garbage. I want to see the good Andy Dalton this weekend.
I totally agree with that. I don't know if he can get it done. I don't have a lot of faith in Andy Dalton to be this kind of guy who's going to go on the road and just start winning playoff games, having been unable to win a playoff game in his career at this point, and he's had some home games. So I don't have faith in Andy Dalton to do it, but as long as he can keep it as an interesting close game, I think that's a good thing. Because if Andy Dalton blows this game, that's going to be another thing we're going to hear. Andy Dalton lost the game more so than Indianapolis won the game, because we know what his history has been in the playoffs. So I hope he just at least puts up a decent performance and we have a good game between the two teams.
And I hope we're getting the Andrew Luck that we saw in the beginning of the year, and not the Andrew Luck or the Colts offense that we saw the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, he definitely went on a decline these last couple of weeks, which is not a good sign. Anytime a team comes out hot and slows down a little bit going into the playoffs, that's never a good sign. The teams that win these Super Bowls are either teams that have tremendous talent or come in going hot. Indianapolis has some talent. They got T.Y. Hilton. You got your Andrew Luck. You got a couple tight ends that are playing well. But other than that, they don't have a lot of other pieces. So I just imagine what this team would be like with Andrew Luck on and T.Y. Hilton if they actually had a good running back and a good offensive line and a decent defense on the other side. So it's going to be interesting, but I still think Indianapolis can pull this off, even though they don't have tremendous talent all over the field.
So is that who you're going with? You're taking the Colts?
I think the Colts pull it off, yes.
I agree with you. I think the Bengals are just going to continue that four straight playoff appearances, four straight one and dones. They don't even get to the second round.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if that's the way it went down. I just don't have faith in Andy Dalton and anything he does. And until he proves to me that he can do something in the playoffs, I'm never going to pick Cincinnati to win a playoff game with him at the helm.
All right, so we got three straight home teams winning the playoff game so far.
I'm taking Indy.
Kevin, I was going to get to you next.
It's okay. I'm taking Indy, too.
So all three of us have three straight home teams advancing in the wild card weekend.
Yes, we do.
All right. That leaves one remaining game. The Detroit Lions are playing against the Dallas Cowboys at 4:40 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Big news in this one, Anthony, you said it at the beginning of the show. Ndamukong Suh, the defensive tackle for the Lions, is suspended this game for, what was it, stomping? On Aaron
stomping,
leg?
Yeah, quote unquote. Like I said, I saw that. That was not a stomp. That was a trip, if I may. They just kind of stepped on him by accident, it looked like. So this is really, really going to hurt the Detroit Lions.
Whoa! We got breaking news here.
Uh-oh.
Detroit Lions, Ndamukong Suh wins appeal.
Ooh.
And will now play versus the Cowboys.
Ladies and
that
gentlemen,
comes from our good friends at the Worldwide Leader.
Wow, that's
ESPN.
Awesome.
On the network, too, NFL.
So a couple news outlets now. I'm seeing on Sports Illustrated, and literally just now as I'm coming across my Twitter timeline, Ndamukong Suh won his appeal.
I love that.
So, see, Anthony, you were right. He did do it on by accident.
Yeah, it was not malicious. Thank you, NFL, for getting this call right. Now, that Dallas offensive line is just monstrous, and this Detroit defensive line, without Ndamukong Suh, probably would have no chance, but now they got one of the best defensive tackles of late to be playing in the game, so the line play in this game is probably going to be what decides who wins this game. I mean, if the Detroit Lions can slow down DeMarco Murray, I think that's their biggest task.
The Dallas Cowboys are on a four-game winning streak. They have been 4-0 in the month of December. They put up 41 points against Chicago, 38 against Philly, 42 against the Colts, and 44 against the Redskins. The last 2 weeks, they've given up 24 points to their last two opponents. This weekend, they're playing against a really good defense. The Lions, I'm trying to just bring up the Lions' schedule the last couple weeks. My point in all this is the Cowboys, like the Steelers, are red hot. The Lions, they were on a four-game winning streak, but they just lost to the Green Bay Packers. Tough game for them. They split their series with the Packers this year. They won at home, and then they lost on the road in Green Bay. But they beat the Bears twice in the last five games. They beat Tampa Bay, and they beat Minnesota. I'm going to give the edge of quality opponents to the Cowboys the last, you know, 5-6 weeks of the season to the Cowboys here. But I do think this is going to be, in my opinion, the best matchup of the week.
I 100% agree with that statement. It's going to be the most fun game to watch. I know Baltimore-Pittsburgh, we were saying, is going to be another close one because they know each other so well, but I think this could be more of an offensive-type game. And Detroit does have a good defense. Dallas' defense, middle of the pack, but I think this could be a very offensive one of those. What was it, a couple years ago when Detroit went down to New Orleans and they just had that big shootout-type playoff game? I think you could see something like that, a 42-35-type game down in Dallas on Sunday afternoon.
42-35, huh? That high scoring.
I would not be shocked to see something like that between these two teams. They're mostly offense first, and it's not going to change because they're in the playoffs. You do what got you here. Dallas, they were talking about them before the season as having the worst defense in the NFL of all time before they even played a game. So the fact that they kept Dallas in it and helped them get to where they're at, got to give them credit for that. But they're still, you know, giving up 355 yards per game. That's 19th in the NFL and 22 points per game, which is 15th. So they're right in the middle of the pack. I just think these are two juggernaut-type offenses that can score points.
Now, there's two primetime receivers in this game.
Oh, yeah, there is.
Start them once format. And I guess this will eventually lead to your prediction, but who are you using, Calvin Johnson or Dez Bryant?
Man. I would prefer to use Calvin Johnson in this game.
You think Calvin against the Dallas secondary a little bit better than Dez against the Detroit secondary, or do you think the Dallas Cowboys are going to advance and you can save Dez for later?
I think it's both. I think that Calvin Johnson has a better matchup this week, but I think Dallas probably has the better chance to move on in this game. I don't know if I'm going to pick them right this second. I want to, but I just I don't know if I can.
Well, I'm ready to make my pick, and
I'm going Dallas.
Kevin, quick, I'm all in, quick baby. With that answer.
Jesus, out I'm of all
Kevin in. Was quick with it. Kevin's going Dallas.
I'm
Dallas.
All in, baby.
Kevin, do you think the Cowboys?
How about them Cowboys?
Are one of those teams that can make a run?
I certainly do.
Really?
I do.
So you're
this is their year. The stars are aligning.
The stars are aligning for the big star.
Yeah, the way they've run the ball this year, it's impressed the hell out of me. The way they can control the ball, and I don't know. I think finally maybe Mr. Romo is getting over that, you know, crucial mistake that seems to always hold them back.
Anthony, are you ready to make your pick? I'm ready to make mine.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with the Dallas Cowboys in this game. I think it's going to be close. But I think that Dallas offensive line and them being able to run the ball is probably going to end up being the difference in this game.
You think DeMarco Murray just going up against that tough Detroit Lions defense, you think that O-line of the Dallas Cowboys and the fact that they have the leading rusher in the NFL, that's gonna be their recipe for success this weekend?
It has to be. They have to start wearing down that Detroit defensive line. And once they start doing that, you got Dez Bryant. I mean, he is one of the best wide receivers in the game. The last couple, six touchdown catches in the last 3 weeks of the season, 114, 73, and 99 yards in each of those last three games. I mean, this guy is playing on fire. Obviously, I mean, Tony Romo's playing on fire. DeMarco Murray's been that way virtually the entire year. And that offensive line is just the best in the NFL. So I think it'll be close. I think Detroit can score because Dallas' defense is that bad, but I think Dallas will end up pulling off the victory.
You know, it is such a close matchup. The Cowboys are 7th in offense. The Lions are 19th. The Lions are 2nd on defense. The Cowboys are 19th. Mm-hmm. They're both in the mid-teens in passing. The Cowboys' second-best rushing team. The Lions, though, 28th in rushing.
Yeah, I would even say if this game was in Detroit, I would still take Dallas.
Really?
That's how bullish I am on the Cowboys.
I would like Dallas more if they were in Detroit. I think the fact that they're at home makes me more hesitant than the fact that if they were on the road.
You like
a lot of pressure at home.
You like Dallas on the road, you're saying?
I'm saying if they were on the road, I would say Dallas hands down. I'm not thinking twice about this. But the fact that they're at home, that's what makes me weary. They went 8-0 on the road this year. That just goes to prove, without people, you know, the pressures of at home and we got to win and Jerry's world and blah, blah, blah. Tony Romo just it seems to play a little different on the road. Maybe more relaxed. I don't know how to say it, but Dallas on the road I think is a much better team.
This is where we're going to disagree, fellas. I'm going to go Detroit here.
The Detroit Lions.
Probably for no other reason other than I want to be a little different than you bums.
Look, this is the tough. It was almost a coin flip. I just think that. I just think Dallas pulls it off in the end, and I don't want to say that, but I have to. I just think that's what happens.
I think it could be a very close game. Either Tony Romo is going to make a mistake, or Matthew Stafford is going to lead him on a game-winning touchdown.
Yeah. I would love to see Matthew Stafford do something like that and start making his name for himself in the postseason as a quarterback.
I don't think – have the Lions won a playoff game under Stafford? I know they
– I do not think they have.
They lost to the Saints.
And I think that might have been his only playoff appearance.
Right. And Romo only has one. I would be really, really, really upset if the Cowboys are the team that makes that run to the Super Bowl. Like, they're that unexpected team because it seems to happen every year. I'd be really upset if it's them.
We all
I really do not like that franchise. I don't like their fan base for the most part. I hate the stereotype, but I feel like it's okay when you're talking about fans. The Cowboys are some of the worst fans around.
I've never been to Dallas myself. I don't know. I don't go to a lot of games live. I'm not a fan of that necessarily, but I'm a Dallas hater too, man. I got to say it.
All right, so quick recap here. All three of us, Kevin, Anthony, myself, are taking the Carolina Panthers, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the Indianapolis Colts. I'm the only Momo that thinks the Detroit Lions can pull off an upset in Dallas. Kevin and Anthony are both taking the Cowboys. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, what do all these predictions mean? What's going to happen in the divisional round? And also, what fantasy players are going to be the superstars for Wild Card Weekend? All coming up and more right here on Patriots.com Radio.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Wanna split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument of flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Bill Enright and Anthony Grace want to help you dominate your fantasy football league. Call in with your questions at 855-PATS-500 or email the champs at webradioandpatriots.com. Now, back to Bill and Anthony.
All right, welcome back, Fantasy Football Champs, presented by DraftKings. We are broadcasting live on patriots.com radio. Only one show this week, the last show of the year. You get what I just did there?
Hi-oh.
Yes, 2015, only a few days away. We will not be broadcasting on New Year's Day. Kevin, I'm assuming you have off that day entirely?
Probably not entirely, but we'll get a good chunk of it off.
Oh, why not entirely?
Just stuff to do. It's a busy time of year.
Just got to get it done.
I think it's one of those holidays here where if we're still playing, it's if you don't have to be here, then don't be here. Or, you know, if you only have to be here for a little bit, then only be here for a little bit and try to get out.
Right.
But a lot of us, there's just stuff that you have to get done, and there's deadlines for when you need to have it done by.
See, I'll be doing a lot of editorial stuff on the site. Like, today I got anyone out of the playoffs, all the teams that are out of the playoffs, I got them out of our rest of the way rankings. Any of the teams that are out of the playoffs, I got their players out of our weekly rankings. So when you look at the site, you look at the FFCPI, our weekly rankings, you look at our rest of the way rankings, they're very different, but they only have players that are still available in the playoffs. Now, the rest of the way rankings are going to change Sunday because I may have Cam Newton as the number 8 quarterback, but if he wins this weekend – then maybe he gets a little bit of a bump, and you know Ryan Lindley will be removed entirely.
He's got to be, even if he's playing, man. Ryan Lindley, my God. if Ryan Lindley wins the Super Bowl for the Arizona Cardinals, no. That would be the craziest thing I've ever seen. I could die because I've seen it all at that point.
I'll tell you what. I'll give you 25-1.
That's even being generous, I feel like.
On them even playing. They don't have to win. On them even winning the NFC Championship, I'll give you 25.
My God,
I wonder
yeah.
what it is. Can we look that up? How do we find that? Super Bowl odds. Let's look that up real quick. What are the current Super Bowl odds? Because we just gave you our wild card predictions. Now it's time to take it a step further.
Next
by the
level.
Way, 25-1 would have been doing a big disservice. The Cardinals are 75-1.
I was going to say that. Just you were being generous there. My God.
No, I was being greedy.
Either way, what I'm saying is they weren't going to make it that far anyway, so it didn't matter.
All right. So now that we have our wild card picks in, we don't have to go game by. We don't have to do a little bit of a preview of the game. But let's just for fun, let's just make our picks and we'll go all the way through Super Bowl. So we all had the Panthers winning, and we. Who does that mean they play?
Carolina winning. Well, since you took Detroit, Bill, that means for you, Carolina would be going to Green Bay. For Kevin and myself, Carolina would be visiting Seattle.
Oh, so since I took Detroit, I have them playing Seattle?
Yeah, because the lowest seed goes to
I wanted Carolina to play Seattle.
I'm sorry, that's not happening for you. Unless you want to switch to Dallas, you could switch it now, but that's up to you.
I do want to switch it because I want to take Carolina over the Seahawks.
Wow. Wow. That's, I feel shocked.
Can I switch my pick just based on that?
I think you can do whatever you want. I mean, whatever. It's not a big deal. This is for fun.
That's so boring, though. Then all four of us have the same picks this weekend.
Well, this is our ladder, so, I mean, we're going to make different picks every week as the weeks go by, too. More based on who's actually playing for our playoff pick'em.
I think the Seahawks lose no matter what.
All right. That's interesting.
But I'd like it if Carolina was the team to beat them because I think they're capable of doing that.
Dallas has to be your winner from Detroit in that game then.
It's so annoying. Fine. I'll go back and switch it. Dallas beats Detroit. Damn it.
I'm sorry. I'm not, hey, it's your choice, man.
Yeah, that's what I want to do.
All right.
Dallas beats Detroit, and then Carolina goes on the road to Seattle and beats Seattle. That's what I want my upset to be.
That's a move right there, my friend. That is intense.
Yeah, that's what I'm going with.
Wow. We're all in the same boat, so I'm taking Seattle to beat Carolina at home.
Kevin? Seattle or Carolina?
Yeah, I don't even think that's going to be close. I'll take Seattle.
Okay. And then we all have the Cowboys. Damn it. We all have the Cowboys playing the Packers.
Yes. Dallas going into Green Bay then.
Kevin?
I will take the Green Bay Packers.
Anthony?
Agreed. Green Bay.
All right. So we're all taking the Green Bay Packers on that one. NFC Championship. I'm going to take the Packers over the Panthers. You guys have Packers versus Seattle. In Seattle.
I think Green Bay wins that game. I think they go back there, got beat down week one. I think they got a bitter taste in their mouth. I think they go in there and win that game.
Kevin? This is going to be the NFC Championship.
No, I know.
It will be in Seattle.
No, I know, and I think the whole kind of feeling around the league seems to be that nobody can win there, but I don't believe that. I know Dallas won there earlier.
Yeah.
Green Bay's given them some games. I mean, San Francisco was an eyelash away from beating them there last year in the NFC Championship game.
Sure was.
So I don't really subscribe to that whole thing that, like, nobody can win up there. But
Arizona won there last year.
No, but having said that, let's put it this way. I'm going to take... It's just hard because the Packers were my preseason pick to go to the Super Bowl.
I think all of us.
But it's I'm not really thrilled with the way the Packers have been playing lately, and I don't think they're – I don't know. I don't think they're tremendously healthy either, which is a huge factor. So I'm gonna go with Seattle. I'm gonna go with Seattle to win that game.
Anthony, right. Who'd you pick?
I think the Packers end up winning that game, but Seattle and Green Bay, I honestly, it can go either way.
It's a game that I want to see desperately, so I hope it happens.
I totally agree. That'd be so much fun to watch.
And if the game was in Green Bay, I would take Green Bay in a heartbeat. And it looked for a large portion of the year like it might be the way Seattle was playing, especially during the mid part of the season when they were having trouble. But it's just they've come on as of late. I feel like they're relatively healthy, which is just a huge factor in this whole thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't know. The bye week is going to help Aaron Rodgers, but we don't really know. I mean, he's had some issues this year. And especially with a leg, like, affecting his mobility and that type of thing, and the way that Seattle defense is flying around, I just don't think it stacks up that well. And I just don't think Green Bay will be able to run the ball against them either, which I think is going to force them to be a little bit one-dimensional. And I just, you know, a one-dimensional kind of passing offense against that Seattle defense playing at home, all jacked up, you know, with their being able to pin their ears back. I just don't like that spot for Green Bay, so I'll take Seattle.
All right. I'm a little, what do I want to say? I don't want to say upset, Kev, but I'm a little bit surprised that you had the chance here to go with your preseason Super Bowl pick,
yeah,
and you're going against it.
Yeah. No, I just think, I don't know. I just don't. Also, Bill, I think you would be the first one because you're a rational person here, and I'm giving you credit for being a rational person.
Thank you.
But things, you know, from, I'll say, pre-week one or, like, I'll say Labor Day weekend, you know, things change, and while I still believe that Green Bay could get there, and would I be stunned if they win that game? Absolutely not.
No.
I just look at, like, the body of work over the past 17 weeks and kind of where the teams are at from a performance standpoint and also a health standpoint and how they're playing and how they're stacking up against, you know, these other opponents. And I just, if I was a betting man, which I am, Bill, and that game happened, like, I wouldn't feel comfortable betting Green Bay in that game.
Well, I don't even think Seattle gets there. So I think it's going to be Green Bay, Carolina.
And would I be shocked if Seattle lost, you know, at home in the playoffs? No, this year. No, I would not be shocked at all.
Well, that's what
I'm just
going with.
I just think the league is just odd, and it's been odd for the last couple of years. And I think that with all the change it's gone through, like post lockout, with all the different restrictions on training camp and how many practices you can have and how many padded practices you can have, and all this stuff and the rule changes and, you know, how we can't play defense anymore, and it's hard. Like, it's really hard to pick games in the league.
And it is.
And the teams that you think on paper should be good, for the most part, I think this year, have been pretty good, Bill. But they haven't been as good as I think we've thought they were going to be. You know, there's been definite chinks in the armor of a lot of these elite teams that we thought we would pencil in for the final four, if you will. You know?
So you're going to change your preseason Super Bowl prediction. That's fine, because I'm going to change mine as well. One of the teams that I predicted will be in it. I'm going to stick with that. I'm going to change the other team. But so, Anthony and I, we have the Green Bay Packers winning the NFC Championship. Kevin, you have the Seattle Seahawks. Do I have that correct?
Yes.
That's correct.
All right, let's move over to the AFC. Now, all of us picked the same AFC teams. We all picked the same wild card teams, too.
Correct.
Even though I really want to pick the Lions.
So, Pittsburgh's going into Denver, and Indy is going into New England for divisional matchups.
I mean, has there been a team over the last 3 years that have absolutely owned their opponent more so than the Pats over the Colts? I mean, it is just a domination.
Is there any team besides the Patriots who just get into the playoffs and you think without batting an eyelash they can make it to the Super Bowl no matter what kind of situation
you're right.
they're in? So
you're right.
They definitely have a stranglehold over Andrew Luck. He's got a monkey on his back from New England. But this team is just I don't know what it is. The New England Patriots are just a great team. And I know it's so hard to look at while it's actually happening. I know they haven't won a Super Bowl in a little while, but they're relevant every single year. So they can beat anybody. They can play with anybody. And I can't see Andrew Luck going into – if Andrew Luck beats the Patriots in the playoffs, it's going to have to be in Indy somehow. And they're playing in New England. I can't see the Colts going in there and winning that game.
I disagree. I totally can't say enough about the Pats. You can't. I mean, you said it, Ant. They are relevant every single year, and there are very few teams that you can say that about, and it just seems like no matter who they were playing, I was going to pick the Pats to win this game. I totally agree with you.
The only team that I feel like they've struggled with the last couple seasons, maybe 3 to 4 years, is the Baltimore Ravens. So if somehow Baltimore pulls off an upset in Pittsburgh and they go to New England next weekend, then I think we got a different situation on our hands.
Okay.
But
that's why we'll repick next week based on the actual matchups in case any of our predictions are wrong. So you and I have the Pats over the Colts. Anthony, Kevin, I'm guessing you're not going to disagree with us.
No, I won't. That's the matchup that I want, just from a Patriot fan standpoint.
You want the Colts, not the Ravens or the Steelers.
Yeah, that's just kind of my gut, and based off of – it's weird, Bill. It's kind of like – and I know it doesn't really make a lot of sense. It's kind of like a pedigree thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think the Colts are ready and at that point yet to come in here in a playoff game and win a game like that. And I think their defense is pretty terrible. And I think the Patriots would be able to kind of like dice them up in whatever way they decided to attack, whether it was with Blunt and Jonas Gray or trying to carve them up through the air. I don't think Indy would have an answer for the Patriot offense.
So that means we all have the Steelers playing the Broncos in Denver. Who's going to win that one?
I think Pittsburgh pulls off the upset in Denver.
Denver's like, going like, down, huh?
I think so. I don't like what I've been seeing out of Peyton Manning the last couple of weeks. I feel like he's been on a slow decline, and if Peyton Manning's game is off, the Denver Broncos aren't going to win that game. I know their defense is a lot better than it was last year. That's what they had to upgrade, but the offense just isn't the same. Emmanuel Sanders was a huge upgrade, I think, over Eric Decker for this year and the long term. But I just – Peyton Manning the last couple of weeks is just not doing things for me. Julius Thomas, since he came back, he hasn't done a single thing. So that Denver team is not as potent offensively, I think, as it was last year, as healthy going in. So I think Pittsburgh, if they get through that first round, and especially if they get Le'Veon Bell back to play that game, I think Pittsburgh can go in there and beat the Denver Broncos.
I don't know if that's going to happen without Le'Veon.
Yeah, and that really is what it hinges on. It really does hinge on Le'Veon coming back. And I think if he sits this week, I think he can make it back for that game. I don't think he's going to sit out 2 weeks in a row unless there's something really, really, really wrong with him. But if he has a chance to play, I don't think he's the type of guy that's just going to sit back and not be taking that chance.
Kevin, how about you? Steelers, Broncos.
I will go with Denver with or without Bell. I don't like Pittsburgh's defense. I think it's pretty similar to the Colts. I go back to the game where I believe they played each other during the middle portion of the year, and it was like 51-35 or 51-34 or something.
Yeah,
along
Big
those
Ben,
lines.
Six touchdowns.
I'm not a believer in the Pittsburgh defense. I think it's old. I think Dick LeBeau is old. Just not a fan of that. You know, them on that side of the ball. Polamalu is a shell of himself and has
sure
missed a
is.
Bunch of games.
Yep.
Not a fan of their. I mean, what do they got? Harrison back, who's like 97 years old too.
Still angry though.
Yeah, still angry, but so am I. And what does that say? And so anyway, I'm just not a huge believer that they're going to be the ones to kind of step up and stop Peyton Manning. I think that game could turn into a shootout because I think Pittsburgh's offense, if they have Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown and Big Ben healthy going into that game, can put up some points because I'm not a huge believer in Denver's defense.
Yep.
But I think Denver's defense has been, you know, much better than last year, which I know isn't saying a ton, but I think they are. And I think they're a more balanced team, and I think that they take care of business at home with or without Le'Veon Bell.
I'm with you there, too. I think the Broncos win that one, and that sets up the matchup that we all want to see.
Sure
at least
does.
For Kevin and I.
Sure does.
Brady versus Peyton in the AFC Championship.
Another treat.
Broncos versus Patriots.
Yep.
And Kevin, or and Anthony, you think it's going to be Steelers versus Patriots. So we'll start with your prediction
start with
that one.
I still think, even if Denver wins that game, I think the New England Patriots are going to the Super Bowl. I can't see a team taking down New England right now. I just...
Get me so excited, Ant.
Hey, man, I can't. They just... when it comes to the playoffs, they just know what they're doing. They never look too jacked up. Like, they come out, they're even keel looking. It's almost like we've been here before, and obviously they have. We know what we're doing. There's no worries in our mind. We're going to go out there, we're going to play the same type of football we've been playing all year, and we're going to win this game. And they just exude this confidence without saying it or looking it, and the New England Patriots are just they're just unbelievable.
I want to hear Kevin's thoughts. Anthony, you picked the Steelers to beat the Broncos, so you're saying that the Patriots are going to pick the Steelers, or the Patriots are going to advance past the Steelers to win the AFC Championship, correct?
That is correct. New England and Green Bay.
Yeah.
I just quickly want to hear Kevin's thoughts before I give you my prediction for this game.
You want to hear my thoughts on if they play Denver, which is what I picked, or the Steelers?
Yes, your prediction is the
I'll take New England. I'll take them because I think the Patriot defense is better than the Denver defense.
Yep.
By a landslide. I think the Patriots have a huge advantage in special teams from pretty much every aspect. And I think the Patriot offense is not as good or loaded as the Denver offense, but it's pretty comparable. So when you look at the teams as a whole and you add in the home field advantage that the Patriots have here playing at Gillette Stadium, and at this stage, it's impossible to obviously know the forecast, but potential weather elements for late January up here, and combine that with the history of Peyton Manning and the cold, and not only the cold, but the cold here, I just think that it's too much for Denver to overcome. I don't think it'll be a blowout like the Patriots had back when they played Denver in the regular season, but I could see the Pats winning by 7 to 10 points in that game.
Here's what I have to say about this game, and this goes back to my preseason prediction. Before I saw these teams play with this roster, I said the Broncos and the Packers would be in the Super Bowl, and I predicted the Broncos would win. But I like Kevin changing his NFC prediction, I am changing my AFC prediction. I do think the Patriots will not only win this game, but they will go on to beat the Green Bay Packers in the Super Bowl. And Anthony, it's something that you referenced, and you know, they come out every game and they're even keeled and they know their offense is rolling and they know their defense is playing well. To me, it just looks like they're ready.
Yeah. There's not really another way to put it.
They're just ready to play. Their mindset, their mentality, of course they're all professionals, but it's almost like this swagger. You don't see him on SportsCenter. You don't see him on NFL Network. They're not always in the highlights, but they're just getting it done. And I guess that's all part of the Patriot way.
Yeah.
But it's really – and, Kevin, how long have I been doing this radio show on Patriots.com? Three years.
I'd say 3 years.
It's something a little different this year.
Yeah, it feels different.
They lost in the AFC Championship against the Ravens when the Ravens won. They lost against the Broncos in the AFC Championship when the Seahawks won last year. But this year, it's something. It just feels different.
Bill, can
I
give
you... And I'm not up there like you, but I kind of watch from afar.
Yeah.
And I remain neutral because, you know, I'm not a Pats fan.
No, we know
but
that.
But I think all of us respect the organization deeply, but it's just something different this year.
Yeah, Bill, and being here, I'll totally agree with that. I feel different. I felt like going into this year that this was the best team that we've had in my 5 years here in terms of being the most balanced team. And after a while, after a month of the year, did I think that? No. But it slowly kind of evolved into what I thought it was going to be. And the best kind of breakdown in 10 seconds that I can give you for why I feel confident in this team making it to Arizona is in the previous 4 years, Bill, the fatal flaw was the defense, and this, more specifically, Bill, was not being able to get off the field on third down. They could not stop anybody on third down, and the time of possession would get all whacked up, and they just gave up a ton of yardage and a ton of points, and the offense just would never have the ball, it seemed, in critical games. This year, Bill, I think the Patriot offense could sputter and score 17 to 20 points in a playoff game, and the Patriots could still win. And I've never felt like that in my 5 years here. I feel like the Patriots could get into a rock fight where their offense doesn't function at, like, let's say, 80 to 100% capacity, and the offense doesn't put up 28, 31, 34 points, and all of a sudden you're in a tight 20-17 game, a 17-16 game, a 21-17 game. Right. I think the Patriots are equipped to win that game this year, where in past years I felt like they haven't been.
I'm with you, Kev, and for that reason, I have the Packers and the Patriots, and like I said, I'm changing my Super Bowl prediction.
I'm going to go with the Pats to win the Super Bowl.
You can't go wrong with that prediction. You really can't. I mean, the New England Patriots, if they get into the playoffs, no matter where they're ranked, no matter what seed they are, no matter where they have to go to play, I really think that they can win no matter what. Road, home, away, neutral, doesn't matter who they're playing. The Patriots are that kind of team.
Close the show with some final thoughts. Wild card weekend. I know we're all excited. Kevin Collins.
Pumped to be able to watch football, Bill.
There you go.
This is one of those cool weekends where I can just kind of veg and watch football. So I hope the games are good, just from a fan perspective. I obviously hope our predictions are right, but I just would like to see some good, high-quality, entertaining, exciting playoff football.
Yeah, I'm going to piggyback on that, Kevin. That's all I want to see, too. Great games, great action, great entertainment, and hopefully we don't look stupid after this weekend.
I want to wish everyone a Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Hopefully you had a very successful regular season, but now it's time to have a successful NFL playoff fantasy season. We have all of our rankings up on ffchamps.com. I urge you to check it out, and we'll help you dominate in the postseason just like we did in the regular season. Thanks for listening. Good luck. Have fun. And Happy New Year.
Thanks for listening to FF Champs on Patriots.com Radio. Bill and Anthony are back live every Tuesday and Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time to answer all of your fantasy questions. Log on anytime to Patriots.com to download our latest FF Champs podcast, available after every show. We look forward to hearing from you on the next edition of Fantasy Football Champs.